You're listening to a session called Dies ist ein Geistestraining, held by Michael Osterreich and Bhakti Brigitte Aldi Osterreich from January 27th, 2008 on the Mölnishof in Germany. Translation was done and spoken by Christoph Engen. English title is This is Our Mind Training.
Willkommen zum sonntagmorgendlichen Mindtrainings von Radio Psychosophie.
Welcome to the Sunday morning.
Ja, wir sind Mindtraining.
Mindtraining of Radio Psychosophie, Psychosophie.
Wenn wir glauben,
yes, we are mind trainers. We want to train our mind because we really don't believe in things happening accidentally anymore. We learn what it means to say, that's going to approach me somehow. The moment you look into your mind, you see what has to approach you, which is precisely what you are thinking at this given moment. When now, as you look out the window, you think this is going to be a bleary day, then with weather in the first place, this doesn't have anything to do with. You're just using the weather, or rather your outward perception of it, in order to want it to be a bleary day for you, which doesn't have anything to do with perception, because would it be a bleary day for you when it rains and you get a telephone call and you hear that you just won 20,000 euros? Would that still be a bleary day? Yes, it could be that way. It could still be that way. For it could be then you get mad because now you have to pay back the debts you have made and the 20,000 euros are gone, and so you can use everything according to what you are teaching yourself. And this is why this here is a mind training in which you are, what is your mind? Your mind is part of the mind of God. Your mind is your intellect and your feeling. With your mind, you're determining your awareness. You determine what you perceive, and part of perception is your thinking, your understanding, your talking, your hearing, your feeling, your smelling, your tasting, your doing. Now, I've always been saying your, and since I meant everyone with this word, of course it's also his thinking here, and her feeling, and his perception, and her taste. So it's the perception of your whole world, and of your whole world as well. Who are you? For this reason, you need a mind training. Because all you think, all you believe to be, when you think you are, cogito ergo sum, or when when you believe you are, then this seems to be the same thing. Both times you can be in truth, and both times you can be in error. Because you can as well believe in something wrong as think something wrong. And you can feel something wrong, and you can hear something wrong, and you can see something wrong. And you can think, see, hear, and feel the truth. Where? In your mind. In your mind. There, where you are inseparably one with yourself, under any circumstances, so as well within time as within eternity, so always and everywhere. Your mind can think time, and just as well it can think eternity. Your mind can think the true God, and you can imagine wrong gods. You can then believe in them or not believe in them. When you believe in your wrong gods, you call yourself a believer, and the ones who don't believe in them, you call them atheists. Referring to the real God, there, again, you have to change your mind. You have to train your mind not constantly to move away from what? From truth. From your holiness. The training is always there for you to be able to fulfill something that you wanted to. When you're untrained, you're constantly moving away. You're slipping away. You're not making it. You're tumbling. You're falling. You're making mistakes. You cannot lift this weight. You cannot go with this bicycle to wherever you want to go. You cannot move the spoon to your mouth when the hand is not trained. All those things you want to do, you cannot do them then. When your mind is untrained, you're constantly slipping away. You're moving away toward the good and the bad, toward life and death. Toward the good, the wrong and the right, the male and the female, light and darkness. The untrained mind is constantly moving either to the right or the left, or up or down, or here or there. When or but. When your mind is trained again, then you remain on your track. Fulfilling your holiness. Even though that might be a term that you know from religions, we do not mean it in a religious way. Or rather, we mean it in an all-encompassing way. We mean it absolutely. When your mind is trained again, you only want one will to happen, which means you don't want to split it up double-tongedly. You don't want to let it fly around schizophrenically so that it's mad out of fear, wanting to judge whether this is good or bad, whether you like it or not. Whether you're a prisoner or free, whether you're healthy or sick, However, again, you are in truth. Again, you are healed. Again, you are in your complete holiness. And from there, you can bless the world in giving it all that you received for it, so that it might be a place of blessing for it, for you, so you will want it again. So according to your holiness, your world may again be heaven, true heaven, heaven in which you love to be so much that any idea within you to leave it some way or the other, whether you think yourself away and invent other worlds or explore other worlds with other bodies, or whether you want to die out of this world, all this won't be playing a role for you anymore then, because when you say yes to it, and this yes in your whole eternal awareness, which is what eternity is, when you extend it there, so when in your mind there will be no more no left that you want to experience, then again you let your will happen totally. Then you yourself are one with yourself again. Then you say yes to yourself again. Then you accept yourself again. Then you honor yourself again. You understand yourself again. You love yourself. You rejoice in your eternal creative potential and allow it to happen. Now we have put the goal of the mind training to the beginning, and accordingly we can train the mind because the means have been made clear and set toward the beginning of the training. Why do you have to train now? Or what does training mean, actually? Obviously it means to exchange weakness by strength. So it means not to unite with weakness, because uniting with weakness obviously means to weaken oneself. Uniting with weakness means not to train. However, to lie in bed and be weak when you refer to the body. It means not to ride the bicycle. It means not to lift weights. It means to sit around and unite oneself with weakness. Training oneself always means to do something. Carpe diem. Use the given day. Use the means you have so you can train yourself, so you may achieve strength, and then you won't have to train yourself again. So what does mind training actually mean? Mind training means to strengthen one's will again in order you don't have to constantly do something anymore. Because once your will has become strong again, once your will has awakened to its total creative potential, there is nothing left that you have to do anymore, because doing actually is weakness. Once your will has become strong again, you let your will happen. And this is absolutely plenty enough. You won't need any body anymore, no weak body anymore that you constantly have to do something with. The mind is willing. The flesh is weak. When you constantly train the flesh, of course you have to be believing that your will is weak. Then you're looking for strength within the flesh, within the body, as an exchange for a weak, willing-less mind. However, now you are getting the information, the mind training information, that your mind is willing. What does that mean? Where does this will come from? From God. So in your mind, the omnipotence of His will must be. And so what for do you actually need a mind training now? You have ordered your mind to give its whole strength to the body so the body may become strong. How can you do that? Your mind is operating with thoughts, with ideas. When you entrust your mind with bodily thoughts, when you entrust your mind to imagine pictures, then from these pictures, multidimensional pictures arise that you are calling body. From the one-dimensional mind, from the absolute mind, you produce for yourself a multidimensional picture, a one-dimensional mind. A one-dimensional mind is not a picture. Good morning. A one-dimensional mind is absolute, is holy, is God. God is not a picture. When the mind thinks dually, then the first picture arises. So to say, it's all flat, you could say. This is the first term of space. We're right in the middle of the Genesis, aren't we? then you begin to think in terms of space. You add a third dimension. And as yet still, everything is happening in your mind. That's the way your mind thinks. Your mind believes in what it thinks. That's the moment when he has to begin to believe. Before that, belief wasn't necessary at all because knowledge was God. So in case now you still want to use the term dimension, that's the moment when the idea of dimension began. Because before that it was superfluous. God is, I am. And then you begin to think in dimensions, which means in bodies, in separation from oneness. Who is doing so? Your mind. Your mind. And there you are, experiencing thoughts and feelings, represented then in the course of the happening in the second dream, once you are the body, in head and belly. And you go into more and more dimensions. Hearing, smelling, tasting, all the senses. Localized in the body by diverse chakras. The diverse chakras are the diverse dimensions in space and time. They are separate from each other and united by paths with each other. And thus, you are exploring these virtual worlds. Your mind is in a feverish action to dream all that. You think it is your task to explore more and more dimensions, more and more dimensions. However, you don't see that, first of all, you have to make them. And every time you're thrilled like a child when finally within your dream you have reached the fifth dimension, and then you call it the age of Aquarius or something like that. You're dreaming. In case you want to return to oneness again, you have to let your former training turn still. You have to let your former learning turn still. You must not use it anymore. Your former learning, you're experiencing it by, you're judging it as worthy. How can you judge it as worthy? In splitting it up into good and bad, into correct and wrong, into modern and unmodern, into spiritual and material. Into sublime and raw, into heaven and earth. and so on. You have a gigantic teaching device in your mind there, and you're teaching that on all sorts of different levels, in the terms of arts, in terms of acoustics, optics, music, movement, ballet, or sports, or various kinds of sport. So it's just a certain way of sport. When you judge it differently, you got nothing but the difference between soccer and ballet, split up into modern dance and classical ballet. You're able to differentiate it ever more. All of that you're doing with your mind, that you, through the will that is reigning in your mind, allow to happen. And it has to be true for you, because whatever you want becomes true for you. When you want to be right, it is real for you, no matter what you are correct with then. And since within your right, that you have split up into right and wrong, then of course you also are wrong, and for being wrong you feel guilty. When you're right, you feel innocent. However, there is great arbitrariness within this right. Same with this guilt and innocence. If then you put a self-made God above all that, then within all this thinking, that then you don't call thinking anymore, however you call it, believing then, it's a system of faith then. What is so strange about this system of faith is you believe you can study it just as well. So then it is not believing anymore, but then it is thinking again. So a priest doesn't believe that, however he has studied it. He has to write an exam in that, just like a biologist or a mathematician or a mechanic. And already believing has become the same as thinking. So the priests of this world actually are thinkers. It's this highly confusing game that you trained your mind for. That's how you perceive yourself in different levels. That's how you do your time excursions. And all this every day, you're living in different dimensions. And this is what you call diversity. And where is God? He's resting one-dimensionally within all these dimensions. He's the one who is within this diversity without being part of it, however, without being touched by it. What's the relating lesson? God is in everything that I see. However, there is one difference. God I do not see. You're able to see different dimensions. You can build the referring tools, the microscopes, for instance, the microphones, that on the acoustic level are something like a microscope. The loudspeakers, the sensors, the sensorical apparatuses. This way, this multidimensional world, in which of course there are many more dimensions than only 5 or 6 or 7, because there is no ending to your learning, because your mind is mind, which means it is infinite. Thus, your learning is infinite just as well. Now, for us, what does mind training mean? You do not want to think multidimensionally any longer. You do not want to be a medicine man anymore, and no druid, and no genius. Neither do you want to explore the limitless world of feelings, nor of feeling, nor of seeing. Why not? Because you are not a body. You are not a multidimensional means of perception for many dimensions. You are spirit. You are one. You are one-dimensional. You are absolute. Absolute spirit. So it is that by forgiveness, which is the means of this mind training, through this forgiveness, you redeem yourself from the necessity of having to explore dimensions. Why having to? Because if you want it, you have to do it. When you distract your willingness from that again, you don't have to do it any longer. Then what you have to do is to save yourself, to redeem yourself. Why? Because you want it that way. Because you use forgiveness to work for you that way. Of course, then, on all levels, in all dimensions, it will become still. And your mind is coming to rest, he's finding back his way back to the peace of God. He stops splitting itself up into space and time, where you got the first two ideas, the first two dimensions. It's these two that remain. Only apparently you split them up further. However, in reality, there is only those two dimensions once you are not one any longer. And these two dimensions, then you split them up. The first two, already they are apparent. All the further ones are just apparent as well. The first two already, they are not true. So all the rest isn't true either. The first two is already what illusion is. And all the further ones seem to be becoming ever more illusions that through the power of your mind, of course, you can make them true for yourself. Why? Out of one single reason. You want it. The only thing, you cannot make them true. Because they are two. Truth, however, is one. God is one. And you, in your reality, you are what God is. The Father and the Son are not two dimensions. They don't create two worlds. They are one. That's where you're getting to the end of the dualistic thinking, and truth begins. That's why we say this mind training, this course, is not an ending. It's a beginning, however. And it will not stop beginning, because it is no ending. Every dimension has an end for the next dimension to begin. And thus you live in a diversity of beginnings and endings, represented through the two key terms of death and birth. The key terms of the two dimensions of time and space, which together are what one dimension is. However, one dimension, it is one dimension that from the beginning you perceive as two. That's why it is an illusion, because it's split up into two. Whereas God is not an illusion, because he is not split up into two. He is one. It's the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you need a different understanding for these three terms, because they don't begin and they don't end. They are one with each other. And therefore, you can train your mind again. when accepting the means for this mind training, they are not at discussion. They are set. Just the same as with every body training. In order to want to train this and that muscle, you need this and that device, and they are training this and that muscle. In the realm of diversity, then you have all sorts of different means, however they are aiming at the same, toward the same goal. In the realm of mind training, when you want to find back to God, also you have several means. You have the idea of miracles, you have the idea of forgiveness. Another means, you have the idea of atonement. Another means, with these means, you are causing your mind to stop thinking multidimensionally . Then you begin that the whole thing gets reduced toward dual, and in the course of the following you redeem yourself from judgment, because in order to judge you need at least two ideas, right and wrong, good and evil, so you don't use them anymore. How? In thinking about everything only one-dimensionally, only forgiving, only helpfully. Thus you're creating, within multidimensionality, one single dimension, which is the field of correction, forgiveness. In this correction, all errors are being erased in their duality, in their multidimensionality. When this mind training is being fulfilled, this morphogenetic field of forgiveness, in your mind and in the realm of your perception, then you are redeemed. The training is fulfilled. What happens then? There is no then. We are not going to talk about this now, because it's no use talking about it. It is fulfilled. Now you could just stop still for a while, look into your mind, look into your perception, look around in your apartment, look at your books, look at your hands, and begin with the mind training and say, this book doesn't mean anything, this hand doesn't mean anything. Fire doesn't mean anything. This water doesn't mean anything. This air doesn't mean anything. This earth doesn't mean anything. And these sounds don't mean anything. And those feelings don't mean anything because they are multidimensional. Because they are taking place on different levels. Because that is separation. Now you have to look into your mind and see what happens when you teach it anyway. When you want to know it anyway, when you want to learn it, feel it, think it, experience it with others, you bind yourself to it, you're getting one with it. You're not free then. You're not one with God. However, literally, you're bound to different dimensions because freedom is something different. You can experience that. How does the lesson go? I am not a body. In reality, in truth, I am free. In the illusion, I am a body. How? In imagining it, in believing it, in making it. With whom? With everyone. Whom then I perceive. No matter whether I want him or not, whether I like him or not, whether he pleases me or not, whether I unite with him or not, every union is worth nothing because he's there already. Every fear of separation is superfluous. Because it cannot happen. I'm already separate from one dimensionality. That's the real separation. Everything else is the artificial separations. Artificial births and deaths. It's all in my awareness. Where is the real birth? In my mind. Where's the real death? In my mind. Is the real birth true? It's an illusion. Is the real death true? It's an illusion just as well. What is real for me? Illusions. Where is truth? As a spark, it remains in your mind. Why just as a spark? Because you do not want it. However, the will remains in your mind. How do you activate it? Through the mind training, through forgiveness, through salvation, through atonement, through miracles. What are these miracles? You take away the awareness of different dimensions willingly out of your mind. What do you need for that? Forgiveness. So neither you esteem the dimensions nor fear their loss. Neither you want to have them nor you're afraid of losing them. Because what is wanting to have them is the fear of losing them. Your will to want to have something in this world and your joy having gotten something, having received something, is identical with the fear of losing it. Now you can understand everyone who defends his possession. Now you can see that those who are successful are living with the same fear as the ones that are experiencing non-success. And what is fear? You cannot find this out this way, because fear is a negation. You can only understand fear by what it is not. Fear is not love. To understand fear by itself doesn't work, because fear is not a truth. Fear you have to define through its contrary. Fear is not love. Love you cannot define through its contrary. You cannot say logically that love is not fear, because fear doesn't have a contrary. Now we're in the middle of the mind training. There is this point where you have to stop to think logically. Fear defines itself. No. Love defines itself through itself, by God. Now, from this slip of tongue of mine, you can see how deeply this logic is rooted in your mind. From the slip of tongue of mine, you can see how deeply I am in need of a correction. And the same goes for you. When you find this willingness for correction, which I just obviously publicly demonstrated for you, if you don't find that within yourself, then in the situation, you will not allow yourself to be corrected. You have made error a part of your thinking. Love is, without exception, being defined through God, which means through itself. To want to understand fear is impossible. Fear is not love. And now you have to decide, do you want what is not love? Do you want to choose that? Or do you want to decide against fear and for love? Thus, you are training your mind. Because if you don't do that, then you'll believe that you're able to unite fear and love in your mind by giving both of them a home in your mind, which is exactly what you did. And when you do that, then the idea of fear will not be able to leave your mind. The only thing you're doing then is you're judging both as if both of them would equally be judgeable. And then your mind is sick. Then he judges the one as if it would be the other, which means true simultaneously. Then you have to be told, brother, you are not able to judge. This simply doesn't work. It's impossible. You cannot judge every idea from itself as if it would be existing by itself. This is insane. And now you can see how insane it is to judge at all, how completely crazy. And you can see all the ways you're walking straight into insanity, you're walking into sickness, into disease. This is the proof for it. You're keeping yourself occupied with disease. Only the sick keep themselves occupied with disease. Only the insane are using the means, the body, in order to be sick. The only thing that's good about it, it's you can heal it, but only through forgiveness. Only when you train your mind in a way that you say, just a second, no, I am not able to judge. Why? Because in my mind I only have one idea existing by itself. The other one I can only by its true opposite find in my mind, and then I have to decide against it, because love cannot be the contrary of truth, of fear. Do you hear how often I am getting these slips of tongue of mine? This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is why it's so necessary to entrust yourself to a Holy Spirit as guidance. Within your thinking, you have to give yourself the allowance to be corrected. And then you have to fulfill the correction, just as it is being demonstrated to you by me publicly now. Otherwise, you remain in this dream. That's how awake you have to become in the dream. And this is not possible as long as you are remaining in the feeling of guilt. Because then you begin to think about those errors. I don't feel like demonstrating that to you now. It's much too sad. Then you begin to develop philosophies and to find reasons for them and think about whether it couldn't be that way anyway. And if you want it to be that way, because then it will be that way for you. And it also was that way for you. Just take a look at the philosophies, take a look at the books. It's not concerned with anything else. Then make duality multidimensional. And you're just about to make the body richer with more chakras. Now just take a look, please, at your ideas of the ascended masters and about in which chakras are you localizing them so they may teach you what dimensions you can still explore. Of course you can do that. However, you can also do that as a mathematician. Insofar, they are working hand in hand, the philosophers and the mathematicians. The only thing you're doing through esoterics is you're already teaching it on the level of belief. And the quantum physics, so-called quantum physics, on the level of thinking. However, you've been doing that for a long time. Referring to that, just take a look at the writings, for instance, of Sri Aurobindo or Krishnamurti or Babaji. Then you see what is being taught there, and you see where these ones are. And now, please, you be a savior, and don't teach that anymore. Don't teach Sanshama anymore. Don't teach that anymore. He's off in some kind of a dimension that you have figured out together with him, and that you can make true. How true? As true as illusions are, completely true for you, for yourself. Instead of truth. Instead of the absolute non-dimensionality of oneness. If you want, experience this mind training and find out what kind of experiences it brings to you. If you talk about Christ consciousness, then just watch of what Christ is conscious and what for him within his consciousness is only illusionary dreams.
Es geht uns also wirklich nicht um Spiritualität, so wie sie gelehrt wird.
So we are really not concerned with spirituality as it is being taught. We are not concerned with religions. We are not concerned with sciences. We are not concerned with psychology or pedagogics. We are concerned with changing our minds. We're concerned, if you want it so, with pure reason, with the holiness of one single feeling. We're concerned with inner peace and with extending it into what you may call dimensions. It's just we don't take this terms so serious anymore. We're just using it in order to free ourselves from it. Because in reality it's only some toy that we do not need anymore. And out of just one single reason, we're experiencing that in these worlds there's always war and suffering and quarrels and always pride and always disease. And always there's attackers and defenders. And always there's threateners and people being threatened. Always there is positive and negative energies. There's white and black brotherhoods. And we're just very happy that all this is not one will. However, that we, anytime and everywhere, on every level, in every dimension, in every kingdom of the living as well as the dead, we can stop still and say, now, I want to step one step back and let him guide, give him the guidance. Him, a being that through various multidimensional thinking, of course you will never be able to understand or experience. However, you can experience how this being, in a total kindness and closeness, this being brings you a peace that surpasses any multidimensional thinking, no matter whether it's on a primitive level or on an intellectual level. Whether it believes it's a being of nature or a being of culture doesn't play any role. In this being, peace is so absolute and kindness so perfect that it is very unimpressed by the ego identity that this being is calling for it. It is just completely, unconditionally loving. And if you want to give this love again and this peace, in order to receive it yourself and to bless all that are in your awareness, independent of all various judgments that once upon a time you have uttered, then you will experience how this blessing fulfills you and how you don't need anything else. Neither you need to think anything else now, neither you need to feel anything else or believe anything else or do anything else. Welcome home.
Uns allen einen gesegneten Sonntag, wo immer du bist.
We're wishing all of us a blessed Sunday, wherever you may be.